CBS Monday.
NCIS!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control all desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Miami stays hot on the recruiting trail, picks up another big-time prospect on Tuesday evening, four-star slot receiver out of Miami Edison High School, Nathaniel Joseph, officially commits to the Miami Hurricanes. Nathaniel Joseph ranks as the number 105 overall player in the country, according to the 24/7 Sports Composite. Highly productive as a junior receiver, catching 33 passes for 632 yards and 5 touchdowns. Also made plays on special teams with 2 punt return touchdowns and 1 kickoff return touchdown. Gabby, what does this commitment mean for Miami's class in 2023?
Yeah, I mean, David, I think it's a really big deal to get Nathaniel Joseph on board. I mean, this is a guy that Clemson, again, kind of identified early and kind of wanted in their class. He backs off of that here recently after a really strong push by Mario Cristobal and his group over the last few months. And this is a local kid, right? These are the type of kids you want to keep home. These aren't the kids that you want going off to play for Clemson, who, I mean, we learned today Miami will play it every year for the next 3 years. I mean, Nathaniel Joseph could have potentially been on the other sideline for some of these matchups, and now he's on yours. And you mentioned him, one of the top slot receivers in the country. I think that's exactly what he is. I remember the first day that he kind of popped up on my radar. I think the day that he actually earned a Miami offer, everyone kind of gets to Trask Powell a little bit late to watch. I believe Palmetto might have been playing that Leonard Taylor, Breshard Smith, Jason Marshall. Palmetto team was playing against somebody, but it was a big game. Miami Edison was playing just before them, and some little sophomore running around. He went for like 260 yards and 4 touchdowns. That was Nathaniel Joseph. That was the first time I was introduced by him. So this is a kid who's been on the scene making a ton of plays here in Dade County against some competitive league. And, really has just always been the guy, a high GPA kid, has a good head on his shoulders again. And then just kind of like a baller that makes plays, that kind of has that alpha sort of mentality on the field, a guy that I think would help, is going to be one of those personalities that tries to attract other talent to Miami as well, and was really going to take pride in being a hometown kid. I mean, just kind of talking to him after his visit, he was just like, I'm going to get everyone I can on board. I'm going to put my recruiting hat on. I'm going to go try to get all these guys. Like, we can't let any of these guys get away. And he's a part of that South Florida Express group that, obviously a lot of big time talent over there. And, I think Miami's getting just an ultimate competitor, a great teammate, a great kid, and just an awesome, awesome football player that, again, kind of just proves that Mario Cristobal could win some of these big time recruiting battles, because didn't back off of back away from Clemson, who just a few cycles ago, we were talking about Clemson doesn't even lose commits. Like, if you commit to Clemson, you are going to Clemson. Like, that's it. That's sort of faded over the last couple years. But now the second former Clemson commit on board for Miami and Mario Cristobal, I think that's a really big deal.
Yeah, it's not often that I'm going to be super hyped about a slot receiver, but Nathaniel Joseph is special, and he's someone that Miami fans should be very, very excited about. I think we had Andrew Ivins on the podcast a couple weeks ago, and we asked him just off the top of his head to give his local receiver rankings, and he put Nathaniel Joseph in that elite tier, along with Brandon Ennis, who is a 5-star, and Hakeem Williams, who I think he's a top 50 player, but could be trending up to a 5-star guy if he has a strong senior season. So to me, that speaks to the talent Ray Armstrong has. And I know this internally in
at Ray, you said Ray Armstrong.
Did I say that? Okay. Yeah, no. So I'm showing my age. Ray Joseph. I should just call him Nathaniel so I don't get confused. Internally, they feel like Nathaniel is one of those elite type of playmakers, and they had him circled as a guy that they just could not miss out on this cycle. And that makes me think too, Gabby, I don't know if you remember this, but at Mario's early signing day press conference, he was asked, like, you know, what type of players do you, you know, when you evaluate this roster, what type of guys do you see that this roster needs? And he mentioned that he wants to add, he wanted to get a receiver that could turn a short catch into a big play, right? And that is what Nathaniel Joseph does all day. He is very slippery. He's explosive, getting to his top gear. He runs through contact better, bounces off contact better than you would expect for a guy that's 170 pounds. To me, Gabby, when you talk about his game, he's a very clean prospect. Like, I don't really know what his true weakness would be. Like, I think if you forced me to say something, it's that he's, you know, in that 5'8", 5'9" range. But he's a guy that plays bigger than 5'9". He can make plays downfield. He knows how to time balls and goes and gets them when he's covered one-on-one downfield. And he's a big-time play threat. He even makes plays, which, you know, I think people assume happens more than it actually does. In 7-on-7, he is a big play threat in the short passing game. He can make guys miss and touch football, which is harder than it sounds. I think people would assume that happens more than it does in 7-on-7. Really doesn't happen that much. He's the rare guy that can make people miss and touch football.
Yeah, and I think, like, David, I mean, you're talking about all these different things about him. And one thing I think people don't realize is I think he could actually make, like, those contested catches. Like, you talked about how he can go up and make a play. I mean, I've seen him do it multiple times where, you know, yeah, he might be 5'8" and 5'9". You talk about him playing bigger than he is. And I think that's a great way to describe, like, a facet of his game. He's not just a kid that's going to, you know, you're going to be able to hit him in the middle of the field and maybe he can turn the corner. And yeah, he could do all those things. But if you, I mean, Miami probably won't need to do this a lot, but if you wanted to, again, at least at the high school level, I mean, he could play some outside receiver for them too, or you can send him sort of, you can throw the ball up to him in the end zone and he can go up with a defender and come down with it. I mean, he can make those big time plays for you. Again, I think he's just a playmaker. I think he's going to be great in the return game. I think he just understands football really well. He understands route, like, you know, the route running, the positioning. I think he knows how to just use his skill set. Like, I think he's just so comfortable and, like, with who he is as a football player. And he's just so, like, in tune with it that he just makes everything just look so easy and so natural. And you kind of watch him move around and it's just like, man, there's just something different. I think you can just kind of see it when you're watching these guys. It's just like, there's just like, he just has a different gear. He just has a different, you know, just level of just making plays, you're talking about making people miss. I mean, all that stuff just comes naturally to him. I think he's, look, these are the type of guys I think Miami just needs to stack and stack and stack. Can't have too many Nathaniel Josephs. And I think this is a huge win for them on the trail.
And you touched on it. His mentality is elite. You know, just watching him as a player, and I don't make this comp lightly because I think he's kind of become underrated from his time at Miami. But I get some Roscoe Parrish vibes from him. You know, Roscoe might be an inch taller, and Roscoe might be a little bit faster, but Ray is definitely plenty fast, but Roscoe had, like, track speed. Ray might be a little more shifty, but to me, they're very similar in that they can take a short pass and turn nothing into something.
Right.
They can make plays in the deep game every now and then. And they are big time threats on special teams. I think it's important to get Gabby to touch on, like, we're starting to see there's plenty more to go still, but we're starting to see the pieces come together on the offensive side of recruiting this class, right? We got the quarterback. We got two quarterbacks, Jaden Rashada, Emery Williams, two Elite 11 guys that can distribute the ball to the playmakers. They got two tight ends committed, trying to get a third tight end on Friday and Riley Williams. Those big, tall, physical, pass-catching tight ends that Miami's adding to this class makes your offense more balanced. They have Robbie Washington already committed, who he's different than Nathaniel Joseph, but he's similar in that he could play in the slot. He can play on the outside. He's more of an outside guy to me than Nathaniel is, but he's also an explosive playmaker with his speed and top gear. They're chasing Jaylen Brown, who to me, like, landing a Nathaniel Joseph makes landing Jaylen Brown a must now, because Nathaniel Joseph can handle the short and intermediate passing game. Like, he's going to give defenses fits in that regard. And then you put the deep speed of Jaylen Brown on the outside on the field with Nathaniel Joseph. Good luck. And then Andy Jean can be that consistent intermediate threat, that ball catcher that makes tough catches over the middle or in traffic. Offensive line, I think, will come right in time. Right.
Yeah.
There's already some pieces committed, but they're not done there. And running back, you know, I think it's a little unclear right now. But remember, like, you know, they didn't get Trevante Citizen until the weekend before National Signing Day. I don't think they'll have an issue landing a running back in a Mario Cristobal system. So just the pieces coming together, Gabby. Are you liking how potentially, you know, how it all does fit with what they have committed, and then projecting forward what they are targeting, how it all mixes together?
Absolutely. I mean, again, how you're kind of laying it out, I think it all makes sense, right? I mean, you have the elite quarterback, you have two, again, kind of maybe smaller side, but fast, electric kind of playmakers, Robbie Washington and Nathaniel Joseph. I mean, I kind of love your take on about how Jaylen Brown complements those guys really well too. Cause right now, I guess the scouting report on him is that he's a deep ball guy, has that 10-6 speed. So, I mean, I love all that. I think
they're
trending
in
the
right.
Yeah.
Cause Jaylen's getting, you know, he's getting talked down a lot. And look, we can have a discussion on whether or not the guy is a 5-star. That's fair. But just because a guy might not be a 5-star doesn't mean he's a tremendous prospect. And quite frankly, can still be a first round pick down the road. We've seen, like, Philip Dorsett was drafted in the first round because he had that one elite trait. To me, when I'm recruiting guys, I need to identify an elite trait in a guy. And Jaylen at receiver has the elite trait that is the most rare, and that's that freaky speed. So I understand the catching concerns. I'm not, like, discounting that. But he's a guy that can still make your offense really good. Anyways.
Yeah. I won't go off about it, but I think he's really raw as a prospect too. Again, I think this is a kid that's still growing. I mean, he's still young and he's going to be a guy that early enrolls too. So I think his best football is still ahead of him. But yeah, again, I think what they're doing on offense right now, it's big time. I mean, how you're surrounding the elite quarterback with some playmakers. I also think that gives you a sort of maybe some wiggle room and going after maybe just really, really pushing hard for like potentially another elite type of talent. Again, I mean, I'm not writing off like a pursuit of Jurrien Dickey. I'm not saying they're going to get him or anything like that. But if I'm Miami, I'm picking up the phone and I'm making that call, because why not? I think that you have to feel good about where you stand, at least with the receivers. I think you have to feel good about where you stand with a guy like Jaylen, with a guy like Andy Jean. I mean, I talked to Andy Jean the night before Jaden Rashada committed. He called Jaden Rashada the best quarterback in his class and that he wants to catch passes from him. Another Miami Immortals kid who maybe didn't compete with the Immortals that much, didn't see Rashada throw it around like that, but I mean, he's heard all the things and he's seen the kid throw it. So I think they're in a good spot with a lot of these playmakers. And you know, I think what they're doing on offense, again, once they kind of get the line of scrimmage right, which I believe that they will, you know, I think they can definitely get rolling on the line of scrimmage. Once they get all that stuff and start all those pieces start falling into place, I mean, I think that this group could be potentially special when it's all said and done.
What do you think this means for Miami's receiver room in 2023? Is Nathaniel Joseph good enough to be in the playing rotation as a true freshman?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, I think he's someone that can definitely come in and compete for playing time. I think all these guys can, right? I mean, we're seeing, again, not like, I'm not trying to knock the receivers now or anything like that, but I think it became pretty evident that they wanted to go out there and try to find another receiver, right? Like, I don't think that they're, it's not that they don't believe in the receivers or the young receivers. I just don't think there's anything that's very proven in the room right now. So I think they're going to go out, and if they can get three or four top receivers and throw them into the mix here, I think all these guys are going to have a chance to compete. I mean, again, unless someone emerges in 2022 now and solidifies a spot, let's say Romello Brinson develops, you know, turns into the big, you know, stretch the field type of guy, or, you know, Jacoby George really turns the corner and becomes that go-to target, or, you know, Breshard Smith becomes a top slot that pushes Xavier Restrepo. You know, I think there's still a lot of question marks in the receiver room. So, you know, I think all these guys are going to have a chance to come in and compete. And again, Nathaniel Joseph is someone who has a great understanding. I'd imagine he's going to be an early enrollee as a kid at Miami Edison. So I think he's going to come have a chance to come in here and play. I don't think it's going to take very long for him to, you know, kind of adjust to the college game at all. Again, I think he's a really brilliant kid, you know, 4.0 GPA type of guy. He's going to be able to transition pretty well. So I wouldn't be surprised if all these guys kind of go after it. And I think that's what's going to breed, you know, I mean, that the competition is going to breed, you know, more productivity. Exactly. That's what they want. They need to continue to stack talent and stack the Nathaniel Josephs and, you know, all these different types of guys. And eventually, maybe a couple years down the line, they're going to have that group that they're going to be able to go to war with and feel really good about it, where they're not looking for a transfer wide receiver after the spring game or anything like that.
So Miami's landed two game changer type talents in the last few days: quarterback Jaden Rashada, wide receiver Nathaniel Ray Joseph. After those pledges, Miami has jumped from number 42 in the rankings, the team rankings, to now knocking on the door of being ranked in the top 25. Could be more to come here on Friday with some potential additions to the class announcing on CBS Sports HQ. We will hope for good news on that end, but still plenty of time to get stuff figured out. We'll see what those young men decide to do. Congratulations to Ray Ray Joseph. Miami landed a big time slot receiver, and until next time, take care.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick Six, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick Six has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick Six is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.